I'm Daniel King.
And I'm Scott Lawley.
And together we are authors of Organisational Behaviour, published by Oxford University Press. So welcome to the podcast, where we look in a little bit more depth at some of the key ideas from the book and try to get a bit behind some of the stories and the issues that we and the theories that we discuss in the textbook. And today we're really interested in ideas about knowledge and innovation. So picture the scene. You come out of the back of St Pancras Station and you see a really large, big, open building. It's the Francis Crick Institute. If you walk inside, it's big, it's light, it's airy. It seems the ideal working places. And this is something which the designers and the architects had really high hopes for, creating the perfect work environment.
So what kind of things do they do in that building then? What's the nature of the work that goes on in the Francis Crick Institute?
So it's a laboratory for biomedic workers. So they are trying to create new ideas, a lot of them around curing issues through cancer, neuroscience and genetics and many other things.
So the key thing about this place is that what they're doing is innovation. It's what in chapter 10 we would call a knowledge intensive firm. You've got a lot of people in there who have very sort of specialist knowledge, and they're going to use that to innovate, to make medical advances in this case. It's not like a factory where people are doing a repetitive task or whatever. It's a very sort of non-standard type of work where you want people to come up with new knowledge and new ideas, I guess.
Exactly. You've got lots of people with PhDs, very bright people creating scientific work, and it's the breakthroughs that matter, and the breakthroughs require that knowledge to interact and people to learn and work well together then. So why did they design the building the way they did?
So I guess the key feature of this building then is just the open space that's in there. It's not like a sort of typical building where you have everyone in individual offices. You've just got these vast open spaces, and you've got people walking around, people chatting to each other, people sort of making these little impromptu gatherings around desks or tables in a cafe. They've got their laptops out and they're talking to each other. And the idea of this type of organisation is that people are going to develop knowledge by interacting with each other. You know, tell me what you're working on. You know, what project are you doing? And I did something similar the other day and I had the same problem. This is how I solved it. So what we're looking at really links with a lot of the theories in Chapter 10 about organisational learning. And this is the idea that companies have a lot of very knowledgeable people, but they need people to share that knowledge and to learn from each other for it to be any use. And some of the basic theories there, Nanaka is the classic theory of organisational learning, and he said that the best way that you can pass knowledge on from one person to another, and by knowledge we don't mean simple things like here's a list of things I've learnt or whatever, it's that real tacit deep knowledge that you have from the experience that you have in a
subject.
What do
you mean by tacit?
I mean by tacit knowledge that something that you've experienced a lot, you've done it so often that it's almost second nature to you. We talk about this in the book a little bit. You know, when you're learning to drive, you know, at first you're thinking every step by step, let me put the indicator on, let me press the clutch to change gear. But once you've experienced driving, those things become second nature. You don't even think that you're putting the indicator on or changing gear or whatever. So that's what I mean by tacit knowledge. And because that's so, you know, internalised, it comes from your own experience, it's quite difficult to share with other people. So, you know, if your tacit knowledge is about how certain chemicals react in a test tube, or, you know, some of this sort of knowledge-intensive work that goes on at the Francis Crick Institute, what Nanaka said is the best way that gets passed on is in a social environment where people chat to each other and they talk. What have you been doing? All those sorts of questions. It's been noted by other researchers as well. Famously in the textbook, Julian Orr did some work on photocopier engineers. And again, their most sort of in-depth tacit knowledge comes from the fact that they've repaired these machines time and time again. They don't have to get the manual out. They just instinctively know how to fix that printer cartridge or whatever, that paper feed in a photocopier that's jammed or whatever. And again, the way they learnt from each other was over lunch in that sort of social environment. So I think what they're trying to do in these types of workplace, like the Francis Crick Institute, is by having this open plan office, they want people walking around, bumping into each other, chatting. It's trying to create that social atmosphere where people will come together and have these conversations to share their knowledge.
And in a way, what they're trying to break out of then is silos. And we talk about in chapter 5 around teamwork, you get silos, individual groups, they never talk to each other. So a designer, maybe you're designing a car, and we have an interview with Joe Greenwell talking about how individual designers didn't ever talk to the people who worked on the factory floor, and because of that then those sort of connections were never made. And then you get badly designed cars because they don't understand the production. So I imagine that's what they're trying to break away from.
Yeah, and I guess the idea there is that you could have the absolute leading expert in whatever they're doing at Francis Crick Genetics. You have the world's leading geneticist working for you. But that is absolutely no use to you as a company if that person just spends their entire working day in an office behind a closed door and they don't share any of their knowledge with other people. You want them out there interacting with everyone else, giving everyone else the benefit of their knowledge and their expertise. And we see this in a lot of companies, famously the Googleplex. So again, you know, Google is a company. It's not biomedical science, but it is high-end technology and software development. So again, it's a knowledge-intensive company where they rely on the expertise of the people who are working there. And, you know, famously, the Googleplex is this largely open-plan office where they're just getting people to circulate and to make these impromptu gatherings. You know, famously, if you go to Google, you get free food in all of the cafes there. The benefit from that is that when people are in the cafe, they'll get together with their laptops around a table. They have pool tables, they have gyms, they have, you know, it looks more like a playground than it does a workplace. But the point is that when people play a game of pool or they go and play basketball, because there's a basketball hoop in one part of the Googleplex, they will be in a social environment where they're actually talking about what they are working on. So it's creating these open spaces that people are actually going to collide and interact with each other to swap knowledge and share ideas. And for companies like Google or the Francis Crick Institute, that's much better than having these people in an office behind closed doors.
And I was talking to somebody who runs an SME, and they went over to Dublin where one of their offices were, and they were saying that Google showed them around, and they said they very deliberately have designed things for what they call them collision points then, where people walk along corridors and maybe bump into people from very different teams. Yeah. And that idea. So they sound perfect.
Yeah.
Sounds and like this dream it sort does. Of work, doesn't it?
And this idea of collision and collisionables, it is actually being turned into a metric, a sort of a measure of performance. Zappos, famously the online shoe company, has designed whole areas of downtown LA that people will collide into each other in coffee shops and whatever just to share their ideas. So it's absolutely perfect as a way of developing knowledge and innovation. I can see you've got an article there about the Francis Crick Institute. What's it saying in that then about?
Well, the funny thing is, so this is a one that the architects have obviously very keen on creating these sort of spaces, but yet the workers didn't really like it. So many people said it's far too noisy to concentrate. So this is an article in The Guardian, and it said that this is a £700 million building, but yet it was too noisy to concentrate. And one of the problems in workspaces then is that we also need to be able to do what Newport calls deep work. And what Carl Newport talks about is sometimes we need to be able to really cut ourselves off and to really add value We need to also be able to sort of carve ourselves away and to do deep concentrating work. And one of the things in this article is it just said that almost so much energy gets taken up with all of these collisions and lots of events and things like that, that people have found them almost too difficult. They've become very stressful, and all of those things outweigh the advantages of collaboration. And they're not the only ones. There's been quite a lot of examples here of that, and it also favours certain types of people who may be more extrovert, who like that form of working as well, and that really has problems.
So I'm getting an idea here that although we don't sort of have like a physical structure like offices and you know, closed offices to separate people and that sort of way of almost controlling people within, you know, it's all people free flowing and walking around, it sounds to me like there's almost like a level of control that comes more from the culture of these places. If you're saying only certain types of people fit in, if you like, and really thrive in this sort of environment, does that mean that there's a particular type of person or a particular type of culture that emerges in this type of setting?
Yeah, I mean, you can design an organisation and you can make an impact in terms of the physical surroundings. That does shape some aspects of the culture, undoubtedly, but some of the deeper seated values and ways of working and the types of people that they recruit and the types of people that might thrive in that environment then is not something you can just design one thing that will work for everybody. Some people would find that just a situation of sensory overload and they would find it too overwhelming. Other people might find that they are more introverted and therefore then find this type of environment not very conducive to that work. Sometimes as well it creates some sort of often macho, competitive culture. You also want to show a lot when you're in big open plan offices as well. And that can put pressure on difficulties on people. So can you design the perfect building for the perfect work? But people interact with these buildings and that makes a big difference.
Yeah. And so certainly, you know, it seems that, yeah, there have been studies that show as much as this type of building can help with innovation and collaboration. Various studies have also shown there are people who much prefer that quieter working environment, and it would seem that, you know, rather than just saying that these open spaces are great, full stop, there has to be some sort of balance that's achieved between catering for both.
Yeah, which is why organisations increasingly also allow people to work from home, and we've got technology now like Skype and various other things that enable people to be able to collaborate virtually and then also work privately as well.
So next time, if you do ever go to London and go to St Pancras Station and you see this Francis Crick building, you can perhaps have a bit more of an idea of what's going on in there with all the people circulating around and getting on with their work, or in some cases not, as the case may be.